Well, welcome everyone to this quiet Christmas service on the longest night of the year, on the eve of what could be a very interesting and very white Christmas. It is good to have you with us this evening. We're not quite at Christmas yet. It is Advent, which is, above all else, a season of hopeful expectation, of darkness waiting for light, of promises waiting for fulfillment. In the church, we believe that when we worship, we do so not alone, but with an entire orchestra of voices from across all times and all places. Tonight, we gather acknowledging that the season is full of a myriad of emotions and longings, of light and joy, but also worry, anxiety, and sorrow. Sometimes it's helpful to take a step back and realize that we're part of a story and struggle that has been going on for millennia. Century after century, the children of God have experienced light in their own dark places, and then brought that light of hope elsewhere. Tonight, we hear the hopeful voices of those who have gone before, even in the darkest of times. It is good to be reminded that we are never alone, that we are part of a bigger story than we could ever imagine, and that light always shines in the darkness. So as we speak and as we sing, we wait with eager expectation for the advent of our Savior, who came to the manger in Bethlehem, who is coming even today into our hearts, and who will come again to make good on all of God's promises. Hear the word of the Lord, who invites us to worship. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. There are a number of songs of the season this evening. They tend towards the more sedate of our Christmas and Advent hymns. You are welcome to stand if you'd like to sing. You're also more than welcome to remain seated. Please don't feel any pressure from what those who are worshiping with us this evening feel is right for them. I think especially in this service, it's important to honor what our hearts long for in this time. Our first hymn this evening invites us to step back, away from the busyness, the bustle, the noise. It invites us to keep silence with the angels and to contemplate the beauty of God, especially the beauty of God in the flesh and the mystery of Jesus's coming. This hymn was written somewhere 275 years after Christ, and it was first used in worship services in Syria, where it continues to be sung today, even as we sing the English translation now. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. If you'd like, I invite you to join me in the responsive reading as we light our Advent candles this evening. We light these candles to celebrate the light of life. Jesus is with us now and forevermore. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of God's only Son, full of grace and truth. Glory to God. In the early 4th century, there were many questions about who Jesus was. How could he be both truly God and truly human? And many in the church and around offered all sorts of alternate ideas. Maybe Jesus was just a good man who showed us the way to God. Maybe he was an angel who disguised himself as a human being. Athanasius wrote a very long and complex work to defend the biblical and orthodox teaching that Jesus was truly God in the flesh. And throughout his work, he defends the ideas that we celebrate in the Christmas season: the incarnation, the virgin birth, and the deity of Christ. His book is very simply titled, On the Incarnation of the Word of God. In the passage of the book that we hear tonight, Athanasius tells the reason that Jesus came. He says that it was to save humanity from utter annihilation, both spiritually and physically. And this is what he writes. What is needed to recall us from our corruption and hurt? What grace could possibly suffice to restore human beings? Who, save the Word of God himself? The same Word that in the beginning had made all things out of nothing. This Word and this Word alone could bring the corrupted to incorruption. For this purpose, then, the incorporeal and the incorruptible and the immaterial Word of God entered our world. In one sense, he was not far from it before, for no part of creation had ever been without him, because he fills all things that are. But now he entered the world in a new way, stooping to our level in his love and self-revealing to us. He saw us wasting away. He saw death reigning over all. All this he saw, and he loved us. He was moved with compassion for our limitations. Instead of seeing us reduced to nothing, he took on himself a body, one like ours. Maybe he could have shown us his divine majesty in some other, better way, but there was no other way for him to show us how much he loved us. Without him, we would have perished, and the supreme goodness and love of God would not and could not allow that to happen. Our second hymn is number 142, I Wonder as I Wander. Thank you. Our responsive psalm this evening is Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Coming back to Athanasius just for a minute before we leave him, he tells us that Jesus, the incarnate God, God with us, God made flesh, is the perfect revelation of who God is. If you want to know what God is like, just look at Jesus. He is the creator become created, the author become a character, the painter becoming the perfect image of all that he is. This is what Athanasius wrote. All human beings are made in the image of God, but Jesus is the image absolute. Through this great gift, we understand God. God gave humans his image, his law, the writings of the prophets, the beauties of creation, the immensities of heaven. So great is the goodness and love of God. And yet humans did not lift up their heads toward the truth. So what was God to do in the face of this universal hiding? Was he to keep silent? His love would not allow it. The image of God came and dwelt in our midst in order to renew our understanding and knowledge of the one who created all things. Hymn number 145, In the Bleak Midwinter. We carry on hearing the voices of those who have gone before, reminding ourselves that the hope of all that arrived in Bethlehem on that night has been hope not only for our time, but for all times. Catherine was an Egyptian woman born in 287. She was the daughter of the governor of the city of Alexandria, and she dedicated herself to studying philosophy and literature. And this led her to Jewish and Christian scriptures and writings, and at an early age, she became a Christian. By the age of 14, she began teaching and preaching about Jesus and led hundreds of people to Christ. She became well known as a scholar, a philosopher, a preacher, and evangelist. Although Egypt enjoyed some religious freedoms, Christians were being persecuted in many other parts of the Roman Empire. And Catherine drew this to the attention of the emperor, and he summoned her to his court in Rome. There, she publicly rebuked him for his persecution of Christians. Intrigued by her exceptional intellectual and rhetorical skills, the emperor challenged Catherine to debate 50 of the most respected pagan philosophers from around the Roman Empire. He was sure that if a prominent Christian leader like Catherine could be persuaded to reject her faith, then many others would follow. Instead, through the course of the debate, Catherine spoke so eloquently and faithfully that several of the philosophers declared that they would put their faith in Christ. The emperor had them beheaded immediately. But nothing would persuade Catherine to reject Jesus as her Lord. The remaining philosophers could not win the debate, and so the emperor ordered her to be imprisoned. It was during that time that many curious members of the emperor's court came to visit this exceptional young woman in jail. She proclaimed the gospel and many were converted to Christianity. Some early Christian writings claim the emperor's own wife was one such convert. Catherine only lived to the age of 18. But Christians in Egypt and the Middle East still celebrate her legacy with simple meals, local to the area, and fireworks set off as a reminder of her explosive ministry, even in the face of threats and persecution. Hymn number 152, Still, Still, Still. A reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, "Here is your God." See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms.
We can turn it off now.
He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the oldest and most universal symbols of hope is a candle shining in the darkness. How many of us have had the experience of being home at night in the middle of a storm, and suddenly the power goes out, all the lights go off, and you scramble looking in drawers and closets to find that flashlight or candle that you know was there just last week. There's that momentary panic when it seems just out of reach, but then you light it, and it's amazing how the light of even one candle pierces through what was initially impenetrable darkness. One candle in a dark room restores hope, and we find our way again. The reason that this particular service is traditionally held on the 21st of December, the winter solstice, is that it is a night to remember that Jesus was born to bring light to all of us. And so why not on the night of the year where we experience the most physical darkness, even as we acknowledge that many of us live in many types of darkness, even when the sun is shining. But Jesus was born to bring light to us all, especially in the darkest days and the hardest experiences. So in and within all of the busyness of the season, there's an important side of Christmas that is not always spoken. It is the deep significance symboled by a light, a candle shining in the darkness, that in our yearning and in our need for God, God comes to meet us. In our rush to get to the manger, to the shepherds and the angels and the sheep, it's sometimes easy to forget that the passages that we read from the prophets during Advent and Christmas were first spoken to people during a period of great loss and devastation. It was a time of exile. They had come through a period of overwhelming violence. Jerusalem had been destroyed, the walls were torn down, families were torn apart and separated, the temple had been destroyed, and they were forced to live in a foreign land. They, like we, asked themselves questions like, how long? And what now? And where next? How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I don't know how to do it now. Questions that we all ask ourselves at various points in our lives, questions that God's people have asked in many ways through the intervening years. But then, as now, even in the darkest places, the prophets spoke words of hope into the hearts of each of God's children, wherever they might find themselves. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. A yoke of their burden and the bar on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor you have broken. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow weary. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the hope that we cling to when everything else seems so hard to grab. These words were spoken to people in a time of desperation and need. They were spoken to people who were experiencing grief and loss and pain. They were spoken to people who had lost all hope. And they are still God's words to us today. The prophets of old still speak to us and remind us that God does not abandon God's people. God is with us. God strengthens us, carries us, redeems us, restores us. It is precisely to those walking in darkness in the most difficult times of their lives where God's light shines the most brightly. Christians discovered that what the prophets pointed to was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's why today we continue to use this symbol of a candle shining in the darkness. If we go to the Gospels, we hear John remind us in the way that John tells the story of Jesus' birth, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And Jesus himself said to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So tonight, on the longest night of the year, we remember that he is our light. He is the light of the world who is already here and present with each of us. The darkness of night, the darkness of the world cannot and will not overcome his light. It is a light that shines very clearly and perhaps most brightly for those who are experiencing deep darkness, piercing through what is otherwise unreachable. Tonight, we take time to remember that Christ is born even and especially for those times. His light is here for each of us. No one is left out or left behind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. May the peace of Christ reign in all of our hearts and homes this Christmas. On this special evening, we set aside some time for remembrance. And I'll invite you, Shannon's going to offer us some music. I invite you to sit quietly in prayer if you like. If you would like to light a candle or two for a loved one or to symbolize your prayer, you are more than welcome to come forward and do so. I'm going to light the Christ candle off of our Advent wreath. And I invite you to use the candle that's there to take light from the Christ candle, which is the tall white one, and use that to light your candles of remembrance, reminding us that Christ's light is for each of us. If you don't like actual candles, there are a few battery-operated ones there you can flick on as well. But as we sit and as we pray and as we welcome Jesus' presence in our midst, let's remember that we light these candles in thanksgiving for loved ones lost, for past health and joy that is sometimes seems distant. And we offer all of our burdens, our worries, our anxieties to God in prayer. And we ask that we might feel God's love in our present sorrow, even as we hope for the promises of God yet to be revealed. Let us take a few moments in holy remembrance. The days are short, the nights are long, Lord. Your universe mirrors the reality that our hearts so often find themselves in. Yet you reveal your gracious spirit as you mourn with us in grief, cry with us in sorrow, and sit with us in our despair. We give thanks that you are not a distant God, removed from human pain, but a faithful companion closer to us than our own tears. Help us to feel your presence now as we remember and reflect, seeking your healing touch and the hope that is promised and delivered in Jesus Christ, your Son. Loving Creator, we acknowledge that we are not altogether convinced that darkness is a thing of the past. Many people in this world of ours feel that it is one of darkness and gloom. Pressures crowd in on us and weigh us down. Our causes may vary: bereavement and loss, illness, finances, worries about family, trouble at work or not having work, addiction, illness, boredom, doubt, weariness. The list seems to go on and on. And then there are the world issues. It doesn't help when that we, as those who love Jesus so much, feel as though we should be doing so much better than we are, so much more than we are. God, we come before you tonight giving thanks that you are with us even in our troubles and our doubts, and that you know us and you love us always. Even though we as the human race have made a mess of things personally and collectively, you are faithful. We rejoice that Jesus came not to a perfect world, but specifically to a broken one, our world, and that he came to bring light to the darkness, our darkness. So, Lord, tonight we pray for our dark and dreary world, a world in need not just of a technical, physical fix, but a world in need of love and grace, forgiveness and new life, hope, peace, and fellowship. We pray for a world in need of renewal, for a world who needs you now more than ever. We pray that you would come alongside us and all of those for whom we pray, that you would show us yourself through Jesus, the light of the world, the one who came and who comes to rid us of sin, to give us life and health and peace, peace that passes all understanding, not just a temporary respite from trouble, but the strength to overcome it and ultimately to receive life eternal. Lord, as we acknowledge our freedom and our peace in Christ, help us to share the good news, to share that light in word and in action, that same good news that the fishermen were called to proclaim, that there is a Savior who loves us more than we can understand. Enable us to use this freedom and love to share in bringing the kingdom. In light of this, light that has come into the world, help us to celebrate even in the darker moments. Thank you for the gift of something to shout about with the angels and the shepherds, even in our trouble and pain, even in our loss, because we know that Jesus is with us. Hear us this night as we pray for those in darkness in its many different forms. Hear us as we pray for ourselves. that they and we might know the light of Christ now and always. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Hear our prayers, Lord, spoken and unspoken, and answer them for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 119, Hope is a Star. A final brief reflection for you this evening from a much more modern voice. Fleming Rutledge wrote a book entitled Advent, The Once and Future Coming of Jesus Christ. And she says that Advent begins in the dark and moves toward the light. We don't walk in darkness without hope of encountering the light. The prophet Isaiah declares that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. And the gospel writer John agrees. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 154, Silent Night. Friends, may the hope, peace, joy, and love of the Lord be with you in this and every season, remembering always that a light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.